The Christchurch shooting in New Zealand exposed the world once more to how extremists use social media to further hatred. It's led to what has been dubbed the Christchurch Call to stop extremism and hatred on social media. It was signed overnight in Paris by major tech companies, including Facebook, Microsoft, and Google, as well as multiple governments, including Australia. Associate Professor of Digital Communications Daniel Aegis from QUT spoke to The Wire's Rebecca St. Clair about what exactly the Christchurch Call is and how it may impact the social media landscape.
Been a raising of public awareness and concern around the use of hate speech online and the role that social media platforms are playing in normalizing or amplifying hate speech. And so this is really a reaction to that that kind of puts, I guess, the heat on some of the social media platforms to begin to look at what role they have to play in eliminating this kind of hate speech on their platform.
How would tech companies and the other signatories go about banning extremist content on social media and on their platforms?
Well, this is where it gets really murky, because already what we have is we have moderation principles in place across the various platforms. So they are already removing content that is abusive or hateful and have been doing that since they were started. The difference here is that given the speed with which and the volume of traffic generated through the reposting of the video from the shooter's perspective and other kinds of forms of hate speech online, it's kind of become part of the public consciousness. And a lot of this is PR exercising from the platforms themselves, because, as I said, they're already doing moderation. It's just, I think the publics are getting a little bit fed up that it's not really working and it's not doing anything to really curb the normalization of hate speech online.
How would banning extremism and hate speech affect the online landscape in terms of the platforms, social media, and just in general?
Well, you can't really do it. We've got mountains of evidence that show how platforms have neglected to take down certain forms of hate speech, be it gendered in nature, be it homophobic, be it racist, whatever form it takes. Platforms have been kind of ignoring this for some time. The one thing that we do see, though, is that the platforms have silently and kind of steadily removed transparency. As researchers, we used to be able to collect data and do evidence-based research on what's kind of happening online. Those tools have been taken away gradually and bit by bit, and so we're no longer able to kind of act as that check and balance.
There are a lot of social media campaigners and groups that possibly don't cross that line into the territory of extremism, but come pretty close. How do you think tech companies will be able to draw the line between fear-mongering and extremism?
We see this rear its head time and time again when we're kind of alerted as researchers or as general publics to things that have been taken down. So this might be images, say, taken down from Instagram, where, say, in one case I know of, where women are bearing some flesh and normalising their beauty standards, and Instagram takes this information down. Now, that's the images taken voluntarily and positioned on that platform by those people because they're kind of feeling empowered to share those images themselves, and they're being moderated out by the platform. And there's no clear accountability or transparency around what is actually living on the platforms and allowed to stay there and what is actually being taken down. So it's kind of like we're taking the platforms at their word. It's all behind their kind of closed doors. There's no transparency and there's no accountability on the part of publics being able to hold them to account.
What role are the signatory governments taking in this agreement?
I think it's all pointing to a bigger picture around media reform. And so this is something that I expect to come out in Australia post-election as well. What I see here is at least a signal that says, yes, it's kind of on the radar and we need to kind of look deeply into this. Legislation and actual proper action on this will have to take a very nuanced and geographic-specific form because, you know, what is perhaps permitted and we see in Australia in our cultural context as being allowed and that we're comfortable allowing online will be different from, say, in Indonesia, one of our closest neighbours, or perhaps in America or over in Europe.
Associate Professor of Digital Communications Daniel Aegis from QUT, ending that report by The Wire's Rebecca St. Clair.